At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Trainor. Thanks for joining me. This week, we'll cover the Dan Le Batard ESPN brouhaha. It started on Thursday when Dan made comments about Donald Trump and the rally where the crowd was chanting, "Send her back," about Ilhan Omar. Dan obviously talked about it on ESPN Radio and ESPN TV, which is a no-no. You're not allowed to talk about politics. And now he missed the first hour of the show Friday. He didn't do his show Mondays, expected back Tuesday. And it's a whole big thing over at ESPN. So Andrew Marchand, sports media columnist and sports media reporter for the New York Post, has covered this, has written numerous articles about it. He joins us to share what he knows. And Andrew and I debate the whole situation and who's right, who's wrong, and what happened. So stay tuned for that. Before we get to Andrew, quick little plug here for past episodes. Go into the archives. John Oran from Sports Business Journal was on last week. We covered a lot of sports media news. We got into NFL's upcoming contracts, streaming, Sunday Ticket, DirecTV. If you're an NFL fan and you have not listened to that podcast, go into the archives after you listen to Andrew Marchand and check that out. Other interviews in the archives from the past couple of few weeks, Ramona Shelburne, Seth Rollins, Joe Buck, Scott Van Pelt. So check those out. Subscribe if you're not a subscriber. If you're a Dan Le Batard Show Stu Gatz fan, I know the Stu Gatz fans are always hitting me up on Twitter. I didn't mention this with Andrew, but in full disclosure, they play my name during a drop on the Dan Le Batard Show where Stu Gatz said, "Jimmy Trainor sounds like a guy I'd like to hang out with." So if you're one of these people who've just discovered this podcast through the Stu Gatz army and Le Batard, subscribe to the podcast, rate it, review it. It's greatly appreciated. All right, here we go. Full interview with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post on the Dan Le Batard versus ESPN situation on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular Andrew Marchand, here to break down the big Dan Le Batard versus ESPN story, which is dominating sort of the social media, sports media landscape. Andrew, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing well. And if anyone thought the Dan Le Batard story would die down over the weekend, they were mistaken. Let me just tell the listeners quickly. We are taping this at 3 p.m. on Monday. This will come out first thing Tuesday morning, very early, I think at like 5 in the morning. But there is a good chance news happens that we don't discuss here just because it's happening after we tape. So I don't want anyone to think we're sort of running away from any issues. We just, where we stand now is Le Batard did not do his show on Monday. ESPN has said they expected him back on Tuesday. So we'll see how that plays out. The first question is this that I have about this whole thing. Maybe you could shed some light because I haven't been able to figure this out. Why did ESPN not suspend Dan Le Batard?
Well, number one, I think it's a different regime. I think the idea that they would suspend him is kind of what John Skipper did when he was the president, and ESPN did have a policy, although it was enforced kind of lightly at times. And so Pitaro is going to look at things a little bit differently. I think he's made it clear to Lebatard what his feelings are, and that, you know, there's some places you can go, but if you go too extreme, or you're talking too much, or it's not really sports related, that's not what they want to do on ESPN, a sports network. So I think that is really the initial reason for not suspending Lebatard. And I think also the reason that they didn't do that was because that would only ratchet up the attention fivefold. And that if you have headlines saying ESPN suspends Dan Lebatard over political comments, I think it only becomes bigger. I still think this has become a big deal, but the biggest thing for ESPN corporately, I believe, is for this to get out of the media, out of social media, out of any kind of media as quickly and as quietly as possible.
Well, that's not going to happen. So,
thanks to you and me.
Exactly. I do find it interesting, though. I mean, I am not advocating a suspension, but if you have this company rule, I mean, well, there's two things going on here. I mean, they have a company rule that says no politics allowed. That's one thing. And then he went and he did politics. The other thing is he totally destroyed his own company, which I think if, you know, ESPN could actually suspend him and play up that angle and say he was not suspended for basically, you know, telling the truth about Donald Trump. He was suspended because he said we're cowardly and we don't have a stomach for the fight or something like that. I mean, they do have an out.
Yeah, I went in my column on NewYorkPost.com. I went into this, and I think one of the big things is that, like you just said, he went after ESPN, and the way he did it, it really kind of put them in a terrible position. Now, I think they found a nice way to put the screws on Lebatard and make him the one who now has to make a decision, which I wrote about, in that, you know, he said basically that you know, basically they're terrible, and that, and he didn't mention Jimmy Pitaro's name, but it's his policy, and so he basically is calling his bosses cowards because they don't want to address these issues unless there's a sports shield. Meanwhile, Lebatard, you know, coming into it, to launch into it, he used a Nick Wright tweet as his launching pads, which is, you know, when he's talking about meat shield and all that, it's a little bit, I don't know, not ironic, but hypocritical perhaps in a small way to do that. Now, that said, I think Lebatard is super talented. I think you look at his story, you could see his parents are immigrants from Cuba, and he's established himself to one of the largest and most successful Miami sports media figures ever, maybe the most in terms of, you know, non-athlete division. And now he's gone national, where he's one of the top five most prominent and important sports personalities at ESPN, the biggest media company in the world, sports media company in the world. And so it's a great story. That said, when you agree, which he did in June with Jimmy Pitaro as the president, to a new contract, multi-million dollars, multi-year deal, where not only you're employee, you know, not only is that employing you, but there's a huge staff around him and employs a lot of people, and they do a unique, different show. It's very good.
Right.
It's one you have. It's kind of one you have to listen a good amount to appreciate. Which, since I've come back to covering sports media over the last year and a half, I had before I hadn't listened to it much at all. And, you know, I enjoy it. I think it's very good. But you have to listen to it to understand it. It's like a fine wine, kind of.
Right.
But the bottom line is, that said, there are rules that you're agreeing to. And so, you know, Disney, to act as if, like, Disney, the people who work at Disney or ESPN or other people are complicit because they're not spending their time on the air talking about what Donald Trump said or what the crowd, wherever it was, chanted, I think is wrong. I mean, when you're working for ESPN, you're a sports network. So should the guy in the middle of Sports Center be the host? Should Steve Levy be, you know, saying that this is wrong from Donald Trump? again, that doesn't make anybody like a, I don't know if they're complicit that way. I think he made a real broad brush about the rest of the people working there that I don't think is fair at all.
Well, I do think, I think parts of this are very straightforward, black and white, and I think there's also parts of this that are very nuanced. In terms of straightforward, black and white, if you work for a company and the company has rules, you get a paycheck, you're supposed to follow the rules. So if they say no politics talk and you want to stay out of trouble, you have to follow that policy. But what I don't like about what you just said is I do think context is important. No, Steve Levy is not going to go on SportsCenter and talk about the fact that Donald Trump is a piece of garbage. But if you have a radio show and you're covering 3 or 4 hours and your job is to be an entertainer, talk about things that you want to talk about. See, the politics to me, this isn't about the politics. It's about the fact that you're going to split your audience. If Dan Le Batard spent a half an hour talking about I don't know what's relevant today. Okay, so this morning, the trailer for the Mr. Rogers movie came out with Tom Hanks. If he spent 15 minutes talking about that, no one would complain. That has nothing to do with sports. It's because ESPN doesn't want to piss off some of its audience with politics talk. But I don't think it's fair to compare what he did to... No, no one on SportsCenter is going to talk about Donald Trump. But if you have a radio show, you riff on a million different topics, and anyone who listens to the Dan Le Batard show knows it's not a straight sports show. So I think the context of that is important here.
Again, I agree. I think a talk show has more leeway than a SportsCenter. But the extreme, I was just using that as an extreme example. But yeah, so it is largely about a person's personality. That's what makes a talk show go.
Right.
I mean, it's more delivery. There's a lot of factors in, and they do a nuanced show. So that is true. That said, it's... But I do think like you have to compartmentalize these two things. Is what Dan Le Batard, what he said about Donald Trump's tweet and, you know, the racist chant, is that important and more important than anything in sports? Of course. I mean, I don't think even if you like are on like a the side of like thinking, you know, that who's a supporter of Donald Trump or who thought the chant was okay, I don't know if anybody would argue that the idea of discussing race in America is not more important than sports. I don't think that's a tenable, I mean, it's obvious that's more important. But if you tune in to ESPN, and if your company has decided from the top that we want to be a sports network, if someone wants to hear about the news of the day, there are many channels, websites, and people on social media they can turn to. We don't want that to be we don't want our people to be part of that because we think people come to our network for sports. And I would argue they're right. And like, I don't know if that makes them complicit against, you know, what's going on in society. Now, Le Batard comes from a definite point of view, which his life story is different and what he's grown up with is different, which makes it even more personable, you know, even more personal than it does for maybe other people. And so you can understand that coming into his show. But that said, what he did when he went after ESPN and calls them cowardly, says they don't have the stomach.
Right, right.
That's where you're kind of kicking the people who are handing you millions of dollars in the stomach. And that's where he's wrong. And if he had just said what he said about the chance, it would have probably gained some attention, and
maybe
people would have called ESPN, but I don't know if it would have had the legs that it had.
I agree.
That's where he made a mistake, in my opinion.
I agree, because you're right, because if he just focused on the rally and the chants and the racism of it, it can be spun as, you know, Dan Le Batard ignores ESPN policy and, you know, talks about politics, but... The headlines were ESPN, Dan Le Batard calls ESPN cowardly, doesn't have the stomach for the fight. It's a whole different sort of. And now listen, the people who, the MAGA people would still go after ESPN just because of what he said. But when you are attacking your own company, you're going in a place that's going to get a lot more attention than just, you know, the bright parts of the world.
No doubt about it. And the thing about Levitard is that he's very talented of towing the line and not crossing it, which is a really hard thing to do. I've said this forever, that to be edgy at ESPN, it's not impossible, but it's close to it.
Right.
Because, especially with the internet age, you know, if you go on the internet, there are a lot of places doing a lot of things. They have no rules, none whatsoever. And that's edgy because there's no rules. It makes it much easier to be edgy. When you have a set of guidelines and you're working for a Disney company and you're supposed to be a little bit outrageous, that's hard to do. It's hard to, you know, they kind of tweak Stephen A. all the time. I mean, they kind of do it with love, but it's definitely sort of making fun of the genre of the hot take. And, you know, they do that all the time. And so Levitard's excellent at doing that. This time he went over the line, and I think the words he used were very strong, and they put himself in a position. And I don't, like, I know some people, you know, I've talked to people who work there, and I've seen it written, you know, like it's courage and stone. I personally don't think saying something or tweeting something is necessarily courageous, personally. Now, if he gives up his money to go do it, that's, you know, I don't know if courage is the right word, but that takes some, to use Raph's line, it would take some onions, you know. But this, Dan Levitard might represent a group that, he does represent a group that is a minority in this country, but Dan Levitard has power. He's got a huge $1 million contract. He also has two huge platforms. And in sports media, he has about as big a platform as maybe anybody in the genre. So he's a powerful person. So I think saying these things, I don't know. I just think he's not necessarily putting himself on the line. And he may have felt a total imperative that doesn't matter. But we'll see what he does from here, because now he's being told, follow the policy. That's what we're doing at ESPN. We're following the policy. And if you don't like it, I'm not saying they said this, I don't know for sure, but I think it's implied that if you don't like it, then we could figure something out. Because to me, that's the only play ESPN had, too, because he made them look extremely weak if they don't do anything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
I will agree and disagree with you a little bit on. I agree that to say what he did was courageous is a little much, because in this day and age where we have to watch every single word we say for fear of, you know, people going ballistic. Yeah, I think courage should be used for basically, you know, firefighters and people who go into burning buildings. But having said that, I do think you have to have a huge set of balls on you to get on ESPN's radio network and television network and say that ESPN is cowardly and weak. I mean, you may not like it. You may think it's...
How about you just sign a new... I don't know how many years it was, but let's just say it's 4-year contract. I mean, you're not doing something they're going to fire you for. So I don't know if, like, to me, he's in a great position. And on top of that, not only would he be marketable if you were let go, in DAZN, he likely has a landing spot. Now, it's not one that's maybe desirable for him because, you know, it's a paid subscription site that's trying to... I get it, but in terms of salary-wise, he probably can make seven figures there. They're throwing around a lot of money. He's very tight with John Skipper. I'm not saying like, I'm just saying it's, he's in a position of power saying these things. I'm not saying that it doesn't take some courage to do it, but like if you're doing overnights and you say it, that would be more courageous to me than if you're the 10-to-1 host weekdays and you have a TV show. Because you have power. If you're doing overnights, they would say, see you later. That's what would happen. Yeah, that would be, they'd come down harder.
I don't necessarily know if I agree, because if you're doing that on an overnight at 3 a.m, no one really cares. I mean, people care because it's Dan Le Batard, and he does have, he is. I think the bigger the name, the more people care. He also has a history of, you know, poking the bear there at ESPN, like you had mentioned earlier. And I don't know. Yes, he has the power. I agree with you at that point. But then, you know, if this played out in some wacky way where he leaves or they fire him and he ends up at DAZN, then he doesn't have any power. So, because then no one's going to listen to him. So I think that's a little, I don't think it's that, I'd be stunned if the mindset was like, oh, okay, well, I can leave and go there. I mean, $20 a month, people are going to pay to listen to him? Maybe they will. I don't know.
My friends at The Zone, I know they're big listeners to your podcast. It's The Zone, not DAZN.
It's DAZN on my podcast. I want to get into.
I call it DAZN.
If you're going to be ridiculous enough to spell it DAZN, I'm going to call it DAZN.
There's a study that if you have it, you know what? You might want to put a Z and S out. There's some study that you put a Z or an X in your name. It's much more memorable. So their defense.
Don't spell it in a ridiculous way if you want it said properly. I want to get inside this story a little bit, because I know you have some good inside information and sources on this, and you've done a lot of good reporting. Andrew, there's a new column up, NewYorkPost.com, about sort of the power play that's going on now. But here's what I'm interested in. I feel like ESPN has done a very good job of getting out all of their, I was going to use the word propaganda, but that's not fair. That's strong. ESPN has gotten their side out. I feel like, you know, you've reported it, Oran's reported it. I've gotten quotes out that, you know, they've given everyone the same thing. They went back and forth over the weekend, Pitaro and Le Batard, and we have reemphasized this policy is not changing and every single member of ESPN must adhere to this policy. And Dan took the show off today, and it was on Monday, and it was his own doing. It was his decision. He'll be back on Tuesday, and he's doing Holiday Question. Blah, blah, blah. Everyone has gotten the same sort of line, but we have not heard anything from the Le Batard side of this. Any reason why? And do you know what the Le Batard camp is thinking on all this?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a lot of different people. I did reach out to Dan. He has not responded as of yet. So, you know, I can't say for certain what he's thinking. You know, I'd prefer to hear it from him. He might be saving it for his show and say what he's going to say there. I mean, it seems to me, again, this is more conjecture, but he's trying to figure out what to say. I mean, on Friday, he didn't do the first hour of the show because they said he was eating breakfast,
right?
Which, you know, in real time I was tweeting out that might mean that he's talking to people at ESPN, which I think is, again, haven't been confirmed, but I think probably safe to assume that that's why he missed the first hour.
Not to interrupt you. I don't want to interrupt, but just, and to be clear about that, I believe his top producer was not on for that first hour as well, which really makes you think there was a sort of, you know, the principal came to class and...
Exactly. Yeah. And then he decided not to do the show today. So he's trying to figure out what his, you know, what he should say and how he should address it with his audience. And so to answer your question, yeah, we don't know exactly what Dan is thinking here. He said what he said. And I guess the biggest thing for him, it's a difficult thing when you're doing a talk show, because you are just kind of, you know, it might not have been pre-planned. It might have been he just saw this Nick Wright tweet and said, you know what, I have to say something. And I'm sure the word complicit probably stuck a nerve, because Nick Wright's the one who first used that word. And if you're Dan Le Batard and your parents are immigrants and there's a crowd chanting behind the president,
send her back,
then I can see where that could strike a nerve. And, you know, your big time personality who's gotten to where you've gotten because you've been willing and able to say unique things that stand out in the marketplace. And so it's like, you know, there's a little bit of hubris that comes along with that. And you say, you know what, I'm going to go for this. And again, the part that I think, I don't know if he'll admit this, but that he'll probably regret is the ESPN part, because he's been working under Jimmy Pitaro's philosophy for 18 months, and it's been okay. Like, he's been able to stomach it, you know what I mean? And he's been able to work around it. And now, in this case, he wasn't. And here's the bigger thing to me. ESPN's a sports network. You could argue, then, that if this is, like, you have to talk about this, well, healthcare. You should be talking about healthcare. There's a million issues in our country that are way more important than Dan Le Batard saying what certain coaches, who they look like. You know, and I think they would agree. They do a fun show that's like, you know, that's making kind of fun of the sports world, the sports media world. And so there's a million issues. Now, obviously, this one hits him closer to home, and that's why he felt the need to say something. But again, I don't turn to ESPN. I don't think many other people do to hear non-sports programming. I just don't think it's not why you turn there. And for them to have a philosophy not to focus on sports, I don't know, that makes perfect sense to me. Maybe I'm missing something. And of course, when something humongous, and maybe in Dan Le Batard's head, and this is a fair point, and I don't come from his worldview, this is at that level, and that might be fair to say. But like after 9/11, if you're a sports media company and you're doing a talk show, you're talking about 9/11 because this was such a horrific and historical part of the American history. Now, again, he might argue that this is on par, or that there's similarities in terms of how horrific this is, and perhaps he's right, but I don't know. It was words, you know, and they're terrible, and I think they're racist, and I agree with Le Batard in terms of what he said, for the most part, you know, but the bottom line is, does that belong on ESPN's air, where they're paying millions for a sports platform? You know, I would say it doesn't, because it was just, there are shows where you can find that. And I also think that his point of view wasn't so unique. Like, I don't know, like, if he was saying something that was so different, I also think it would have more weight. Well, he was saying something that a lot of people were thinking and agreed with. And so it wasn't like it was different than what a lot of people were saying and thinking.
Again, the line, people tune into ESPN for sports. They don't want anything but sports, to me, is that's, it's a little bit of a bullshit play, because what you say, people don't want to hear about.
Why?
Because so does that include anything that has, that's non-political? What if Dan Le Batard was giving out like a recipe for guacamole? Is that okay? That's not sports.
That would be fine. But
right.
No,
so
but when you go to a dinner party, right, or you go with friends.
No.
I don't think you're married, Jimmy. But if your wife might say to you, or your girl, whoever would say to you, let's not talk politics with these people. The reason you don't do that is because it's so divisive.
Right. So it's politics. Like, it's the issue. It has nothing to do with our people don't tune into.
Yeah.
Right. It's just politics.
Of course.
That's what the problem.
Politics.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So that's where. So it has the line is, you know, people.
You also don't put it, because if they were talking about guacamole a lot on the Dan Le Batard show, yeah, I would think that'd be a problem too. Like, if they mentioned a guacamole recipe because there's something unique about it every once in a while, sure. But if they were talking about guacamole, we have the guacamole hour. We talk about guacamole for an hour every show. Again, unless they were doing some great bit, and maybe possibly, but you know, and obviously we're just using that as a, you know, ridiculous example. But the point is, yes, politics are very divisive,
right.
And it's not that you can't discuss them. It's just that we have places where if you wanted to hear that, there are many talk shows that you could listen about politics. Like, there are many network TV channels that you can listen and hear about politics. And not that I think he got on him because it's like when it intersects with sports. No, yeah, that's when you just discuss it, when it intersects with sports. I don't see how that it's a sports network. And that's where they, when people want to hear about it, is when it the issue of sports comes up.
Oh,
when
people
it's just out of nowhere. Then when it's just out of like, not, I don't know if nowhere, because that was an issue of the day. But I don't know if that's where people turn to. Like, you turn the channel to that station or wherever you're getting the show. There's always to get it. When you're choosing it, to listen to Le Batard because he's a great personality, and you want to hear about sports. like, and how they do a show. It's a little bit different than other shows. So there's a nuance, not just sports takes. It's their little, like, you know, view of the world. Now you could say, well, maybe their politics should be involved. But what ESPN's saying, no, you're not absolved from
I get all that. I'm not disputing any of that. I get all that. I just think that there's a couple of things to sort of push back on that. I get why they don't want politics discussed. I totally get it. But if what he said that day was like 3 minutes out of a 4-hour show. And I, like I said before, I think the fact that he went after ESPN is what the majority of this hullabaloo is about. But I do think this is where I sympathize.
We did this, though, Jimmy. Hate to interrupt you, but we did this. If nobody from nobody in media writes about it, they just let it go. Like they really haven't done it. ESPN really hasn't done anything official.
Totally disagree.
Like, the media.
Totally disagree.
Really,
Jimmy
media picked it up.
In every single interview, Jimmy Pitaro does. He makes it a point to say.
No, you're right. Before that. But I'm talking about this incident. Yes, of course. That he said publicly that they have data to say that they're not. They don't want to talk about politics. It's pure politics.
Right.
And then, so that's where the media has a right to, like, you know, we have a right to do whatever we want, but we have a right to pick it up in this scenario because Pitaro has made it clear he does not want pure politics.
But
Lebatar does pure politics. Then every website that covers this stuff and a lot that don't. Start writing about it,
right.
And now we're here.
Let me just finish this thought, though. This is where I sympathize with Dan Le Batard. Do I think Dan Le Batard should go on ESPN and bash ESPN? No, I think that's only a recipe for disaster. If ESPN has a rule, no politics, should Dan Le Batard get on the radio and do no politics? Yes, because that's the rule. They pay you, and I get it. But this is where I sympathize with him. The reason he's employed is to entertain people on the radio for 4 hours. And you can be a sports station and want to focus on sports and play that song and dance all you want. But the fact of the matter is, every person who's on radio, especially the good ones like him, always brought in the topics and are always talking about other things besides sports. That's just the way it is. And when you're in the middle of the summer, when there's absolutely nothing going on, and the country is basically, you know, on DEFCON, whatever the number is, I always forget that expression, because of this rally with these insane people chanting. And you're Dan Le Batard, who, you, like you said, parents immigrated from Cuba. He sees this going on. It's hard for me to judge the guy because he spent 3 minutes saying he cannot believe what's going on in this country. Instead of talking about, who's better?
Judging him? No. But I don't think those are two different things, though, Jimmy. Like, you can agree with what he said and also think he shouldn't have said it on ESPN.
What I'm saying is, in this situation, I'd give him a pass for saying it, considering all of the circumstances. That's what.
And I think ESPN, from what I've been told, I think ESPN likely would have if he hadn't gone after ESPN.
Right. I wanted to say I wouldn't give him the pass for bashing ESPN because you just, like, anybody who works for any company can't bash the company. It's not exactly rocket science.
Well, I think if he had done it that way, it would have passed quicker than him just going. I mean, he went nuclear too. I mean, the words he used were cowardly. Don't have the stomach for that. Then he said that basically he and this is where I would have a problem with it. I used to work there, so if I were, it's like he's saying like everyone's complicit. Like if Mina Kimes doesn't say anything, is she complicit? Like is everyone complicit who hasn't said something about this?
No, I don't. I don't think that's fair.
I don't think it's. And again, we all come from different. From his, I get it. Like this is it's deeply personal for all of us. But there's always extremes for whatever your background is, you know, in terms of how personal. For him, obviously, like, and maybe he has to say that, and you know, he needs, you know, he couldn't even, like, sometimes you feel something. I think we all do at certain times, you know, forever. But just, you know, politically now where we are, you know, as a country, which wherever you stand, that it is very strong feelings. It's probably always been really strong, but social media amplifies it, and you feel like you have to say something. My thing is, though, is that making an impact? Like, and by saying everyone else is complicit, I use the Steve Levy, like, you know, apologies to Steve, to break me through, but like the SportsCenter, like, should he be saying on SportsCenter? You know what I mean? Like, all right, Yankees beat the Royals 4-3. Well, and I got to say this about, you know, I get it's different forums. But right. Should he be saying on Twitter? Should other people be saying this all over the place? And if they're not, they're complicit. I don't know if that's fair.
Again,
he did say that.
I'm going to disagree from this standpoint. I didn't take it as him basically insinuating or implying that his colleagues are implicit because they're not calling out what they see. I saw it as him exposing the nonsense game that ESPN plays. And we play it here at SI, so I shouldn't just call out ESPN. SI plays this game too, where we're not going to go on our website on SI.com. ESPN's not going to go on there and say, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, a sociopath. But if Steve Kerr says it, now we can let him take all the bullets and we could put everything on him and do a story about how Steve Kerr said this. It is a little bit of a, it is a little weak, I think. I do. It's like, okay, we won't take the bullet, but you know what? Popovich could take the bullet. Kirk can take the bullet because they're sports figures. There is a little bit of a weak aspect to going about it that way.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't know. I get what you're saying, and I get it. It's kind of weak, and you want to be the one saying it, but like, I don't come to SportsIllustrated.com to read Jimmy Traina's political thoughts. I go to Time. I want to, you know, or somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go. That's not why I go to your website. Like, I would never go to SI.com and say, I wonder what Tom Verducci thinks about healthcare. It's like, that's not like what you guys do. So,
I disagree.
You know, if you want to write a letter to the editor of the New York Times and get an opinion pages, you know, maybe. But like, I see the point in that, like, it's sort of weak. We're waiting for Steve Kerr to say something. But that's implying that you're waiting to say something. Like, you cover sports. And yes, you have opinion pieces.
That's where we part ways. I don't look at it like me or Lebatard. We just cover sports. We cover pop culture as well. And then we cover, you know, anything else. Here's the thing. Last week, there was a video of a woman on a plane swiping the TV with her bare feet. Everybody covered it. Is that sports?
But again, that's different though. That's not like, I get what you're kind of saying when you're making these examples, but you're right. That's not sports.
Right. But
Jimmy, but then like, well, I guess you could present this to your bosses, but to your trainer club, which is sort of lighthearted in my opinion. And for the most part, you're having fun with sport.
Right.
Kind of similar to the Lebatard show in some respects, I would say. Should every fifth column, would you want it to be about like your opinion of Donald Trump? Does that make sense?
Here's what I'll tell you about that. Every now and again, I would like to say that I cannot believe the president of the United States is such a piece of garbage, but I don't do
it. You said it.
But I don't do it because I don't want to give SI the headache. My bosses have been very good to me. They've given me a lot of leeway. I don't want them dealing with the headache. I would deal with it. I don't care. But I don't want them dealing with the headache. So that's why I don't do it.
So Dan gave ESPN the headache and had a higher profile than with respect to trainer thoughts than you did. Like, he decided, I'm going to give this headache on a Thursday afternoon. Now, maybe it's that important and perhaps even is even right. It's a huge issue. It's a very important issue. Nobody's downgrading that issue.
Right.
But like, the idea that if Steve Kerr said it, now it's an issue. Yeah, now it's an issue. Right. I don't see where that deviates. We cover sports. So if a sports person says it when you're covering sports, yes, does that kind of feel weak if you're a talk show host? Like, I'm supposed to be the big man saying all these things? Yeah, I agree. That's why when I went back to ESPN, when I was talking about ESPN, and I think it's dicey when you're supposed to be edgy to do it at ESPN because they do have rules and you can go off, but every place has rules.
Right.
Like, to act as if they don't is ridiculous. The new owners, whatever the new ownership system is at SI, I can't figure it out, but whatever it is, if you just went on this podcast and you spent 40 minutes just ripping them to pieces, let me know when the next podcast is. You know what I mean? I don't think there would be a next podcast.
It may happen, but we'll see what happens.
But the point is that there are rules.
So, I got you.
Again, I'm not like saying like there are rules sometimes to be broken.
Right.
And I actually think it can be advantageous for the person.
Right.
Like, you know, if they wanted to play the game, Qatar could just be like, you know what? Act rogue. It'll be good for the, you know, network. It'll be good for your show. This is drawing attention to your show. More people will listen. But that's not what they're going through.
No, I got
and
it.
I guess
I got
at
it.
The end of the day, why?
Right.
I don't know. I don't tune in to damn to listen to. I tune in to laugh.
Right.
And I'm
but
not saying you can't go to a serious issue. Sometimes I'm not saying that like you should never go to a serious issue. And I'm not even saying like to me it's fine. I don't make ESPN's policy. It's fine that he even did it.
Right.
But I can understand why ESPN's policy is the way it is.
I agree.
And why they would be like, why are you putting us in this position? And the biggest thing though is he made all his bosses,
right,
who, from what I can tell, have been very good to him.
Right.
Okay, I don't know for sure, but they seem to be very good to him. They've given him he's earned it. He's talented and he's earned it. And it wasn't like he won some sort of a lottery. He's earned the positions and he's earned the money. But from what I can tell, they gave him a lot of leeway from 10 to 1. They gave him a lot of leeway on highly questionable with his dad on the show, and you know, and it's done well. It's been on for a long time. So to me, as far as I can tell, they treat him really, really well. And he decided the other day to just slap him in the face.
We're in agreement nationally,
everywhere.
It sounds like we're arguing, but we're really in agreement on
99%.
We listen
to Mike and the Mad Dog when they were at their peak, so we know the key is keep people listening. Sound like
Just to go to the, I do want to move off this and then wrap up, but just to play off the example where I said I would love to be able to say what I want about him, but I don't want to give SI the headache, and Dan ended up doing it and breaking the rules, and I said this earlier, his experience with it is totally different from mine given his parents, etc. So that's why I think we're in agreement that we can get it, we understand it, and then he went and bashed his bosses, and then. Let me ask you this from your reporting. I didn't realize this until I read your column a little while ago. I thought this was maybe it's a little kerfuffle that'll pass. But is this like the Jimmy, like, is this rocking Jimmy Pitaro's world? I said that I thought this was his worst nightmare, but I thought it may die down over the weekend and then it did not. What are you hearing about Pitaro's reaction with all this?
I mean, I think he's handled it and talked to Le Batard a number of times, from what I'm told. And look, I think that they're in better hands with Pitaro than they were with Skipper. He's like righted the ship in a lot of respects. This is, and one of the things that they wanted to do is they wanted people to stop calling it MSSPN. I don't know, Clay Travis, whatever, the MS ESPN thing, whatever it is.
Yeah,
they don't want that liberal. I get it. Nobody does that. I agree with you. The other thing is, that's a misnomer in a lot of respects. There's some truth to the liberal part of ESPN that it was, but a lot of it was untrue. I mean, we're going to get off topic here a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to go through this again.
But here's the thing. I will say this. When you're hosting SportsCenter and you're Jemele Hill and then you're tweeting politics, you can't ask your audience, or at least the people who are doing both, that they can separate the two. You're asking a lot. But the idea that ESPN was on the network and they were talking about non-sports things all the time is just untrue. It just wasn't – it's not true. It's simply, you know, not factual. So – but when you take the money from Disney or ESPN and decide to be a cast member, you're going by their rules. And when you go into the politics in any forum now, public forum, you are representing the company. If you don't like it, then you can leave and
it's
do
pretty,
something else. And you know, that's the number one thing.
It's pretty wild because Jemele Hill never did anything nearly as egregious as what Dan Le Batard did, and she ended up having to leave. I mean, she did her thing on Twitter, and what she got suspended for was not the white supremacist remark. It was saying boycott Jerry Jones's sponsors, which, again, Jemele Hill on Twitter, boycott Jerry Jones's sponsors, doesn't even compare to what Dan Le Batard did on Thursday morning.
Yeah, but for Jemele, who's talented and I find very funny, it's worked out. It's worked out very well.
Right. The bottom line is Jimmy Pitaro and ESPN don't want to piss off any of the 60 million people who voted for Donald Trump, and they're going to make sure.
I don't even think it's that, though. I think like there's like this thing like, well, they're like appealing to the MAGA. It's like, I think that's kind of BS. I just don't think, you know, like everyone's trying to survive in this media world. Like, why would you want to piss off, I shouldn't say why do I piss off anybody. That's not really why, because I mean, I piss off people all the time, and you piss off people. But like, why? It's like, I don't know if an audience is coming for that. That's the bigger point. Not that it's like, oh, we don't want to piss off these people because his views are like I think, I don't know Jimmy Pertaro's like political views, so I shouldn't even speak to this, but I think there's a lot of people, maybe even more people than not at ESPN, who probably agree with what Le Batard said and also would think he shouldn't have said it on ESPN's platform.
Right. That's pretty much, I think, what the consensus would be. All right. Well, very, very briefly, how do you see this playing out? What do you think the next step is in this?
I think it depends on Dan. I mean, I wrote the column that's up on, you know, NewYorkPost.com, is that he's going to have to decide. He's been told to, you know, there's a politics policy, and he's going to have to decide what he wants to do. He's described that policy as cowardly. And so does he want to go by that policy, or does he want to continue to, you know, speak out on politics, even if they don't intersperse with sports? That's a decision he's going to have to make. And obviously, if he goes to the latter, then to me, there's more courage in that, because then you're putting your position in, you know, it could be in question. And would he have a lot of offers? Yes. But like I said, he has a great life at ESPN, as far as I can tell. You know, maybe behind the scenes it's not as great, but as far as I can tell, they treat him really well, pay him. I know they pay him a lot of money, and he gets to basically joke around and have fun. And I don't think there'd be any greater thrill than having your dad on a show with you on ESPN every day.
Right.
So that's pretty good. I mean, so I think they treat him really, really well. But he's going to have to decide on what you know he wants to do. So I think Le Batard will decide where this goes, and you know, if he lets it die down, you know, the only problem for him is that then he kind of looks cowardly himself if he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I totally disagree, because he shouldn't have done it. So he doesn't look cowardly. It's like, okay, listen, I did this. I got it out of my system. I shouldn't have done it. This is the rules. I got to follow the rules.
Oh, if he says that, fine. That's all right. If he apologizes, but he still sort of backs down. It was so important, but now it's not that important.
It's not backing down. It's you got to follow the rules. You just, you know. But all I know is this. I cannot wait, as someone who does not work at ESPN, I cannot wait until Election Day next year in 2020 to see how many suspensions end up getting handed down, since no one's allowed to tweet about that. I'm going to go off the total reservation here. I've got a vent about something that has been pissing me off since Sunday, and maybe you can weigh in here. There's nobody that does more scheduling nonsense and messes more things up than Major League. Major League Baseball is the worst at scheduling. Can you not have the Baseball Hall of Fame take place while there are games going on? Maybe it's obviously I care about it because I'm a New Yorker. I don't need Mariano Rivera giving his speech while the Yankees are playing a game. Can you maybe schedule that when there's no games going on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't answer like officially, like I know exactly why, but I do believe that the Hall of Fame weekend has always been a summer event, always been a weekend event, very big for the Cooperstown community in terms of revenue, and obviously it's the focal point. And the games are still being played, so I guess your alternative would be like have no games on Sunday,
or just have the ceremony take place instead of the stupid All-Star game that nobody cares about. Just put it when people can watch it while their baseball team is not. I don't, you know, maybe White Sox fans wanted to watch Harold Baines yesterday.
It doesn't get a great rating. I don't know if that many people really want to watch.
Well, it doesn't get a great rating because it's on a Sunday afternoon while the games are being played.
Could they have the ceremony at night? I mean, I don't think that's a terrible idea, and not have Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Right, right.
But I mean, I guess that's a possibility. But Jimmy, I mean, you could have put it on your iPad and watched the game on TV. Can you multitask or no?
No, I can't multitask. All right.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you for coming on, and we will check out your columns on NewYorkPost.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand for coming on and giving us the information he knows about the Dan Le Batard versus ESPN situation. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, if you're a Dan Le Batard Show listener or a Stu Gatz fan from the Stu Gatz Army, please subscribe. Greatly appreciated. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.